April 6th that we're going to use tactical nuclear weapons to take out the Iranian nuclear industry. We're going to attack.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Links to Russian websites, Italian websites, German websites, French websites. So the rest of the world is having a debate about this, and we in the United States don't even know about it.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
Another top aide to embattled Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is out of there. Monica Goodling resigning today. CBS's Howard Arenstein explaining.
Goodling has been heavily criticized for announcing she'd take the Fifth Amendment rather than answer congressional questions about the firings of U.S. attorneys. And legal analyst Andrew Cohen says her resignation will probably not change her decision.
She still certainly can, and she probably will, invoke her right to remain silent, at least for now. And the fact that she is no longer a federal employee will not give Congress or any court the power to trump that.
Goodling served as the Justice Department's liaison to the White House, and her name appears often in the emails about the firings released by the administration. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Give an organ, get an organ. CBS's Barry Bagnato now on a swap procedure now recognized as legal.
The ruling is being hailed as a breakthrough. It'll allow willing kidney donors with organs incompatible with relatives to be matched to strangers, and their relatives will get kidneys in exchange. A national matchup program can now be developed. That'll take a year or two. It's estimated 3,000 patients could be paired with donors immediately after it begins. And the government says it'll save $500 million in costs paying for transplants instead of long-term dialysis.
They are talking about their ordeal now, 15 British sailors and Marines. First, where they were when they were captured by Iran.
When taken by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, we were well inside Iraqi territorial waters.
That's Lieutenant Felix Carman, says they were held in solitary confinement, threatened with long-term imprisonment. Royal Marine Captain Chris Eyre on why they didn't fight back.
Had we resisted, it would have been a major fight, one which we could not have won, and with consequences that would have major strategic impacts.
I'm Mark Nola with the President in Crawford, Texas. A White House spokesman calls Iran's reported mistreatment of those British captives unfortunate and extremely disappointing. He said the administration has no reason to doubt the allegations by the British military personnel. In the U.S. view, Iran had no right to seize them in the first place because they were in Iraqi and not Iranian waters.
Vonage, the upstart internet phone company.
They were like Rocky. You know, they were this like tough fighting competitor that came out of nowhere and created a lot of anxiety amongst the existing telcos.
Industry analyst John Arnold commenting on a federal judge's order today that prevents the company from signing up new customers. It's a compromise injunction to punish Vonage for infringing on Verizon communication patents. Weather-making news, utility crews in New England still have thousands of customers who need power restored following a spring snowstorm. And amid accusations, it's been watered down. A report issued today by an international global warming conference. It warns that people will go hungry. Species could disappear due to unchecked climate change. Good Friday in Rome. The Pope following a long-time tradition there, carrying a cross at the start and end of the Way of the Cross procession at the Colosseum. This is CBS News.
He is a ruthless killer, hiding in the shadows. He is a vicious madman who preys on what you love. Who is this man who knows so much and stays just out of reach? Meet Shadow Man, the riveting thriller by Cody McFadden. When Shadow Man takes on the FBI's most brilliant and most troubled agent, she'll stop at nothing to bring him to justice, even if it means entering the shadows. Read Shadow Man by Cody McFadden in paperback from Bantam.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We've passed it three times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
We are about to learn a lot more about fired astronaut Lisa Nowak, this thanks to a Florida judge's decision today. CBS's Peter King.
The judge had told the state attorney's office not to release any more documents in the Lisa Nowak case, fearing more sensational media coverage. But with at least one news organization preparing a legal challenge, he's reversed himself. Now he says only evidence pertaining to psychological tests will be sealed. Last month, prosecutors released about 200 pages of evidence, including some steamy emails between astronaut Bill Oflein and his girlfriend, along with police interviews with a couple and Nowak, who's accused of attacking the woman. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Don Imus is apologizing for making what he concedes were insensitive and ill-conceived remarks about the Rutgers University women's basketball team on his nationally syndicated program. The National Association of Black Journalists demanded the immediate firing of Imus in the morning after he put his foot deep into his mouth the morning after Rutgers lost the NCAA national title game. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Get the good stuff.
This is Michael Waltrip here to let you know about a great new product at Napa. Napa now has 3M Performance Finish, a superior new waxing solution that actually bonds to your car's paint surface, providing long-lasting and durable paint protection, not to mention a deep gloss finish that will be the envy of all your neighbors. Protect your car today with 3M Performance Finish, just $12.49 at Napa. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Peter B. Collins.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Glad to have you along on this beautiful day. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from San Francisco, beaming up and down the left coast and oozing eastward across the country. It's our brand of progressive talk radio. We got a full agenda for you coming up in half an hour. Chris Tonsing returns. He's the editor of the Middle East Report. We'll get his take on the Iran-Britain gunboat diplomacy showdown. And why didn't the Iranians use Gitmo tactics on those British sailors and Marines? We've lost that moral high ground. We'll talk about that. Also coming up, we'll get an analysis of the new IPCC climate change report. That's the international panel that's been taking a look at it. Their fourth report's been published. And Dan Kamen, a professor of public policy from UC Berkeley, will join us coming up next hour. Then we're going to talk to a couple of activists. Tina Richards is the mother of a man who served two tours in Iraq and is suffering severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. And she has been so far unsuccessful in winning an appointment to speak with the speaker. Nancy Pelosi apparently said she would talk to her, but so far Tina Richards hasn't been able to snag that appointment. And we're also going to go to Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, where the Easter Vigil is underway, not for the resurrection of a Savior or anything like that, but with hope eternal that George W. Bush will agree to talk to Cindy Sheehan. And if it all works out, the person we talk to at Crawford, Camp Casey, is going to be Cloy Richards. That is Tina Richards' son, the Iraq War veteran. Also today, we'll talk about election integrity with Brad Friedman, as usual, in our third and final hour. And whenever you'd like to join the conversation, just call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. And you can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Our first guest today works on the Democracy Now! Radio show. He writes for The Nation. He's got a powerful new book out about a murky organization or business that many of us have questions about. The book is Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy Scahill, welcome to our program today.
Great to be with you, Peter B.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I commend you on your work, not just on this, but on Democracy Now! As a commercial radio guy, I have to say that that is a program that I have the greatest respect for and never feel any competition with. I think that you guys do a great job. Amy Goodman is a terrific anchor, and you've made great contributions, particularly when the corporate media has been, well, so weak in the last 5-6 years.
Well, that's really kind of you to say that, Peter. Thank you.
Also, I wanted to mention before we start talking about Blackwater that just by accident I flipped over on C-SPAN last Sunday and I saw your interview with David Martin. And because Congress is on its Easter break, C-SPAN plays a lot of the book shows repeatedly. Do you know if your interview will be replayed anytime over the weekend?
I don't know. You know, I've been so busy running around. I was just in Canada that I'm not even caught up with things I've already done. So I really don't know.
Okay. Well, then I'll just encourage people to surf past C-SPAN, and you just might see Jeremy Scahill there. David Martin of CBS News did a pretty good interview for a corporate news guy.
Yeah, he seemed, what was interesting about talking to David Martin is that he approached the issue very much from the viewpoint of the Pentagon and the troops. And, I think that's really one of the breakthrough issues of this story about Blackwater is that really this represents a anti-military, anti-troop policy on the part of this administration.
Yeah. So Blackwater, CACI, C-A-C-I, DynCorp, these are, there's one called Ventnor too, right?
Right.
These are not names that, most Americans are familiar with. And is that on purpose? Or are these companies that don't have a PR firm and an advertising budget to try to burnish their image?
Oh, they have PR firms and advertising budgets, and they largely market the federal bureaucracy or Congress. Blackwater has high-powered lobbyists whose job it is to not only help them win favorable contracts, but also to help shape the laws that govern or don't govern mercenaries in Iraq and elsewhere. I like to say that Blackwater's not the the most profitable. It's not the biggest mercenary company, but it's the one with the closest proximity to the throne in this country. Mm-hmm. The rest of the companies are sort of like Ford, and Blackwater is like the Maserati.
Oh, very interesting comparison. Now, in an article that's an excerpt from your book that appeared in The Nation's April 2nd edition, let me just grab a paragraph here that I think will set the stage for people. Blackwater was founded in 1996 by conservative Christian, multimillionaire, and ex-Navy SEAL Eric Prince, the scion of a wealthy Michigan family whose generous political donations helped fuel the rise of the religious right and the Republican Revolution of 94. At its founding, the company largely consisted of Prince's private fortune and a vast 5,000-acre plot of land located near the Great Dismal Swamp in Moyock, North Carolina. Its vision was to fulfill the anticipated demand for government outsourcing of firearms and related security training. In the following years, Prince, his family, and his political allies poured money into Republican campaign coffers, supporting the party's takeover of Congress and the ascension of George W. Bush to the presidency. And their investment, has it paid off, Jeremy Scahill?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, we saw a company that didn't exist basically a decade ago rise to become nothing short of the Praetorian Guard for the so-called global war on terror. I mean, at present, Blackwater has won $750 million, $750 million in contracts with the U.S. State Department alone just since June of 2004. And again, this is a company that didn't exist a decade ago. They work for the Pentagon, they work for the State Department, they work for the Central Intelligence Agency and other intelligence agencies, as well as private companies. This is a company that's at the cutting edge of technological warfare. It's at the cutting edge of asymmetric warfare. And it's a company that only butters one side of its bread. The executives of Blackwater don't give money at all to Democratic candidates. In fact, they give money to Green Party candidates to defeat Republicans, and that's why I call Blackwater the Republican Guard.
Mm-hmm. And initially, it appeared to me that they had a limited role in Iraq. They were there as the personal security force for Boots Bremer, the temporary emperor under the occupation provisional authority.
Right, exactly. I mean, that sort of kicked off Blackwater's Iraq contractor bonanza, but I should say that Blackwater was contracted by the CIA to go into Afghanistan in the early stages of operations there after 9/11, and it was the first known use of Blackwater as a mercenary outfit. Prior to that, it had generally been involved with training of federal, local law enforcement, and the military, particularly the U.S. Navy. And then after 9/11, as Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater, said, the phone started ringing off the hook. They go into Afghanistan. Then when Bremer's boots hit the ground, Blackwater was hired with a $21 million no-bid contract to provide his security. Within a year, that contract had been expanded to over $300 million. So Blackwater really hit the jackpot with the so-called war on terror and the Iraq occupation.
And, of course, this is part, as you point out in the book and in the article, the overarching redesign of the Pentagon that Donald Rumsfeld had in mind. And a lot of that was to shift workloads from uniformed service members to paid contractors. And most people didn't think it was a big deal when it was food service or truck driving or that sort of thing.
Right.
But when these people become armed and extremely highly paid mercenaries, it causes morale problems for the troops, no doubt about that. But we also have a severe lack of accountability. One of the measures that was imposed by Paul Bremer before he left Iraq essentially grants total immunity to these mercenary contractors. They are not bound by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They're not subject to any disciplinary actions by the Pentagon. And they are also rendered above the law in Iraq.
Right. I mean, let's look at it this way. When the U.S. tanks rolled into Baghdad in March of 2003, they brought with them the largest army of private contractors ever deployed in a modern war zone. At present, the ratio of contractors to U.S. troops is about 1-1. 130,000 U.S. troops, 126,000 U.S. contractors. And so what this has done is it's allowed the Bush administration to effectively double the size of the occupation force, basically behind the backs of the American people and with almost no congressional oversight. Their deaths don't get counted in the official toll, although we know from the U.S. Department of Labor that at least 780 contractors have been killed in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We know that at least 7,600 have been wounded. We don't know the crimes that these guys are committing. The fact of the matter is there have been hundreds of thousands of individuals working as private contractors that have gone in and out of Iraq over the last 4 years. There have been two legal actions taken against contractors. One was a guy who allegedly stabbed someone in a kitchen, and the other just happened this week. A guy pled guilty for possession of child pornography at Abu Ghraib. So they won't convict people who were torturing Iraqi prisoners, but they will go after someone for possession of child pornography at Abu Ghraib. How about the pornography of stripping down prisoners and putting leashes on their necks? I mean, we know that private contractors were operating at Abu Ghraib. Is anyone investigating them? Are they being prosecuted? No, they're not.
Oh, and Jeremy, apparently you didn't get the word, Democracy Now. Lindy England and a couple of other people were exclusively responsible for that. And
Lindy England and Charles Grainer, two low-ranking soldiers, were court-martialed for Abu Ghraib. The generals don't get prosecuted for it, and those that set the tone for this torture complex in the White House still continue to govern this country openly.
Yeah, and the only way we appear to be able to get rid of Alberto Gonzalez is not on the critical issue of the torture policy and the other egregious things he's done. It's because he's been caught lying to the United States Senate over the U.S. attorney issues. Jeremy, we got to run to a break. When we return, I want to talk about Fallujah. I want to talk about New Orleans. Get a little more info from you about Blackwater. I've got one caller on the line. If anybody else has a question about Blackwater, the other mercenary groups, for Jeremy Scahill, get on the line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jeremy Scahill's new book is Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
The Collins Show.
There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, "Hey man, what did you lose?" The guy says, "I dropped my keys about six blocks away." "Why aren't you looking over there?" The guy says, "The light's better over here." That is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. Yeah, that's the war on terror. Is the war on terror.
And that's Roy Zimmerman. Thank you, Roy. We continue with Jeremy Scahill. His new book is a powerful expose of the murky world of Blackwater. Subtitled, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy Scahill's with us. And that book's been out how long now, Jeremy?
Well, it's officially been out since, I guess, March 19th, but it was released a bit earlier because I had written this op-ed for the L.A. Times, and it generated a bunch of interest, and so the publisher began releasing copies of it. And I'm blown away by the fact that it's going to debut on the New York Times bestseller list at 9 this weekend, which is kind of I consider it a victory for independent media. You know, I published with a very small publishing house. We've gotten no corporate media attention on the book, and I think it shows the power of of the people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted for you and glad that the story is getting wide circulation. It's something we need to know more about. Recap for us in a minute or two the signal events in Fallujah that brought Americans' attention to Blackwater and really produced a series of problems that led to the U.S. almost leveling Fallujah and using white phosphorus in the shake-and-bake maneuver, which I believe is a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, I think a lot of people in the world would agree with you, though most people in this country don't even know what you're talking about because there was basically a whiteout on that story. All right, just to set the scene, Fallujah, when the U.S. rolled into Iraq in 2003, was a city that rejected occupation forces coming in. They had sort of organized themselves, elected a new city council. The U.S. went in by force in April of 2003. Iraqis protested. There was a shooting outside of a school where people were demonstrating, and that kicked off a series of conflicts between the U.S. military and the people of Fallujah that was sustained for about a year. March 2004, a year into the occupation, U.S. troops were not inside Fallujah. In fact, they declared it a no-go zone. They wouldn't even enter the city of Fallujah. And yet on March 31st, 2004, a convoy rolls into the center of the city of Fallujah. The lead vehicle was a Pajero Jeep, unarmored, just a reinforced bumper, being driven by a Blackwater troop. Next to him was a Navigator. They were short a rear gunner that they should have had, according to the contract they were working under. Behind that vehicle, there were three empty flatbed trucks being driven by Iraqis, and then the rear was taken up by another Blackwater Pajero Jeep. Again, only two guys in it, not that third. Their mission that day was to go to one side of Fallujah, pick up some kitchen equipment, bring it back to the other side of Fallujah. They weren't even working for the U.S. military. They were working for a private catering company. So they roll in at 9:30 in the morning. They hit some sort of a roadblock. The rear Blackwater vehicle gets ambushed by Iraqi resistance fighters. They shoot up the guys inside, and because they were an unarmored vehicle, they were able to literally just kill them by walking up to them. The front vehicle realizes an ambush is underway, and they either tried to get off the X, as they call it, get out of the scene, or turn around to try to help the rear vehicle. They, too, are overtaken by resistance fighters, and within minutes, the original attackers disappear into the side streets of Fallujah. A mob descends on the bodies, burns them in the streets, drags them through the streets of Fallujah, strings up two of their lifeless, charred bodies from a bridge over the Euphrates River. Someone had made a sign that said Fallujah is the graveyard of the Americans, and hundreds of people were dancing in the streets. The bodies of those guys remained hanging for about 10 hours. Meanwhile, back in Washington, Bush is at a Cheney-Bush fundraiser. He talks about we're going to defeat the terrorists abroad so we don't have to fight them at home.
Yeah.
The next morning, we all wake up to newspaper headlines that say American civilians massacred in Iraq. But, of course, these guys weren't civilians, nor were they active-duty military. They were private soldiers sent there by Blackwater USA. And within a week, the Bush administration had ordered the Marines to do something that the Marine commanders did not want to do, and that was lay siege to the city of Fallujah. They killed hundreds of people, conducted 37,000 airstrikes, and inflamed the Iraqi resistance that haunts U.S. forces to this day.
And to me, one of the bottom line takeaways is that Blackwater, while it highly pays the former military men who become mercenaries, they are disposable like tissue.
The families of those men claim that Blackwater sent them in unarmored vehicles that day to save $1.5 million.
Yeah. Dave in Phoenix joins us now with Jeremy Scahill on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, Peter. So far, this terrorist thing hasn't affected me much personally, but I came across something today that just kind of shakes me. I follow daily IraqiCasualties.com,
mm-hmm.
and they have little sidebars on there which referred me to NBCSanDiego.com. And the lead sentence in that is a major defense contractor wants to build training complex for mercenaries in East County.
Jeremy, what do you know?
Well, I know a lot about this. I mean, this is a major struggle that's born of Blackwater's domestic expansion. A couple weeks ago, Blackwater opened up a new training facility in Mount Carroll, Illinois. They're trying to open one up right outside of San Diego on 800 acres of what activists and environmentalists say is protected land. There's been a grassroots uprising against Blackwater. Yesterday, there was a big public hearing. There was a massive protest. Residents of the county had shirts on that said, Stop Blackwater. And half of the residents of this county, fully half of them, signed a petition saying they don't want Blackwater in their community. And this is Blackwater's latest attempt to expand westward into California.
Dave, Dave, I want to thank you for a great question. And Jeremy, you know the radio thing. I'm going to get cut off in 20 seconds. So I'd love to talk with you again when your schedule permits. In the meantime, I want people to pick up your book about Blackwater and particularly read about New Orleans. That was a big turning point that directed you to investigate this further. Right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your work. And we'll talk again.
Thank you, Peter, for all you do.
Jeremy Scahill on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at stardatesolar.com.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Actually, I think we'll take a little spin through George W. Bush's democracy-challenged Middle East. Coming up next hour, we'll take a look at the new report on climate change, the IPCC fourth report. Dan Kamen, a professor of public policy from University of California at Berkeley, will join us in about half an hour. But first, we turn to Chris Tonsing. He is the editor of the Middle East Report. They're online at merip.org, and it's been a very busy week in that part of the world. Chris Tonsing, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I wanted to get your take. It's now resolved 2 weeks ago today. The gunboat diplomacy started there in the Shatt al-Arab waterway, and the British sailors and Marines are now back home. And bottom line, they have a story to tell, and the Iranians have a story that played apparently pretty well for domestic consumption. But internationally, does this event have any impact in your view, Chris?
I think it does. I think Iran emerges both a winner in one sense and a loser in another sense. They emerge the winner in the sense that I think it's quite plausible, as reported by Patrick Coburn in The Independent over the weekend, that the seizure of the British sailors was a sort of delayed retaliation for the U.S. and Iraqi seizure of Iranian security service people.
The Erbil 5.
The Erbil 5, yes, a few months ago. And so what Iran was trying to do was demonstrate that if the U.S. is going to undertake measures like that, that there will be tit for tat, and the Iranians are capable of striking back in symmetrical fashion. And the message they wanted to broadcast to the world was that in such a situation, because it's so tied down in Iraq, because the Persian Gulf is already such a mess, that neither the U.S. nor its major military ally, Great Britain, would take aggressive measures to recover its personnel, and that, in fact, did occur. In that sense, Iran's a winner in the public relations sense, not just in the United States and Great Britain, but also, I think, in most of Europe, where Iran really should take care to maintain better relations. I think the stunt of putting the sailors on TV so many times, the stunt of exploiting the fact of the sailor Faye Turney's being a mother and all of that, left a very negative impression on people here. And it, of course, evoked memories of the hostage crisis, which is the worst kind of memories that Iran can evoke in Americans, especially if they're trying to sow goodwill.
Well, we'll come back to the treatment issue because I think there's some interesting parallels to draw there. But first, you called it a win-lose situation, and one of our favorites, I know he's a favorite of yours, Chris, John Bolton, was quoted in the New York Times today. Iran has emerged from this in a win-win situation. It won by snatching them, and it won by giving them up.
Right.
Now, to hear him say that is kind of interesting.
Right. Well, I didn't see that quote, but I would imagine that Bolton is in the camp of some of his right-wing confreres in the media who have been apoplectic at the fact that the British sailors actually allowed themselves to be taken captive instead of fighting to the death with their Iranian captors. And there are, I guess, some people in the British press as well who are mounting this attack on the British sailors. I thought the sailors, when they gave their news conference today, did a quite thorough and admirable job of explaining why that would have been pointless and a bad idea for all concerned to fight the Iranians. And I don't think that most reasonable people really buy Bolton's kind of outrage.
Well, I don't buy much of what Bolton offers to begin with, so I won't dwell on that. I wanted to turn next to an op-ed that was published yesterday in the New York Times, co-authored by Vali Nasser of California's Naval Postgraduate School and Ray Takei at the Council on Foreign Relations. And they argued that there is a serious lesson here that Iran in some ways generated for the world community.
And that is, we don't want to be trifled with, and we want to be able to show that we're as muscular militarily as anybody else in the region, including the occupying American forces. But they also seem to send this signal that if you don't insult us and don't confront and escalate your threats, that, you know, we will deal with you. And that's not a totally clean picture, because after the sailors and Marines were released, there was an attack that some are attributing to the influence of Iran in southern Iraq, and four British troops were killed in a tank or armored personnel carrier near the city of Basra. And so we can't necessarily draw a really clean message here, but I do think Iran was trying to set an example here and say that whether it's about our nuclear enrichment program or our, you know, general regional aspirations, the best way to deal with us is diplomatically and not through military confrontation.
I think that's right. I think the interpretation of that op-ed is correct. And in more broadly, in everything to do with everything from the nuclear issue to shared interest in Iraq and all of this, so the message that Iran is sending to the world, in particular to the United States, is that they want to be dealt with as equals. To them, negotiations means being dealt with, dealing with the other as an equal and not seeking to dictate terms. And I think it's a pretty clear reference on the Iranian part to the precondition that the U.S. has put on all of its so-called overtures toward Iran in the last couple of years, that in order for negotiations to take place over the nuclear program, Iran must preemptively surrender what is, under international law, its right to enrich uranium for the purposes of generating nuclear power. And Iran, correctly, from a legalistic point of view, views that as a complete imposition on their rights, and they think that for them to say that they will cease enrichment would be a humiliation. And what they're trying to do is send the message that if the West will negotiate with them on the nuclear issue and not impose these preconditions for negotiations, then negotiations are possible. And that has been actually a pretty consistent message coming from Tehran on the nuclear issue for a few years now.
Chris Tonsing with us, editor of the Middle East Report on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to bring on, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. Chris, the other thing that I see here, and I've brought this up a few times. I think you and I may have talked about this once before. Ahmadinejad has articulated a sense of philosophy or kind of a political mantra or a set of priorities that seeks to reorder, and not in George Poppy Bush's New World Order, but to reorder the hierarchy. And in particular, he bristles at the post-World War II power structure that is still in effect, and he thinks that, you know, it's archaic. He, of course, does link it to his denial of the Holocaust and his antipathy toward Israel. But I think it's important for Americans to at least understand what he is trying to articulate, first to his fellow citizens in Iran, and secondly to his regional neighbors. And how do you see this fitting in with the kind of political philosophy that he has articulated?
Oh, I think it does fit in. I think he is Iran, the Iranian regime in general, not just the president, are trying with this incident to flex their muscles on the regional stage in the broader Islamic world and in the broader developing world, to essentially be champions of the developing world, and particularly the Islamic world, against what is pretty universally in that part of the world viewed as the overweening arrogance of the United States in particular. There is a specific application of what you were saying to the nuclear issue, which I think Iran is recurrently reminding people of in the developing world and governments as well, and that is that there is a fundamental inequality built into the Non-Proliferation Treaty to which Iran is a signatory, as well as the U.S. and other countries. And that is that, it essentially creates a nuclear apartheid, if you will, of haves and have-nots. The have-nots have to operate under different rules than the haves. And there is a rather important article of the NPT, which has never been honored, and that is an article that requires the nuclear haves to undertake good faith efforts to build down their arsenals of weapons so that we can work toward a future in which there would be no nuclear weapons, and that in which nuclear power would only be for the purpose of generating electricity. Now, that article of the NPT has never been observed by the nuclear haves, and the have-nots, like Iran, are not averse to pointing that out to great political benefit for themselves.
Now, Chris, I want to turn to the treatment of the sailors and Marines from Britain, because we know much more now than we did even 48 hours ago. They were generally isolated from one another, and the female sailor, Faye Turney, who you referred to earlier, was separated from the others and apparently led to believe that everyone else had been released.
Yeah.
And this helps explain the monkey suits, the polyester Ahmadinejad fashions that they were sporting when he paraded them before the media at the time he decided to announce the release. And it also explains the videotapes of various British service members acknowledging that they had trespassed into Iranian territory and seeking the forgiveness of the Iranian people for that. Now, as we can now tell, those were perhaps coerced, but at least we can say that those weren't statements that were freely and voluntarily given by these individuals. They also reported that when they were in these isolation cells in Tehran, that when they wanted to go to the bathroom, they were blindfolded, and they talked about some of the other psychological games that the Iranians played with them. But this pales in comparison to what is on the record of U.S. atrocities at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, most recently affirmed by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, by David Hicks, and by Nashiri, who coughed up guilt for the coal bombing and then laughed about it later and said, well, they seemed really pleased with that lie, and the torture stopped for a while. And I believe that Iran showed great restraint in, at least from what I know, of the treatment of these captives, and didn't go the low road that I believe the U.S. has green-lighted for anybody who presumes to be our enemy.
Well, we can certainly say that this episode was a charming bit of blowback from Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib. The minute that Tony Blair and the U.S. government opened their mouths to talk about the Geneva Conventions, for instance, on the first occasion when the sailors were paraded before the Iranian media, most of the world had to laugh because, of course, the U.S. in particular has routinely violated the Geneva Conventions, not just in the conduct of the war in Iraq, but in the broader conduct of the war on terrorism. One effect of this crisis is to show how those tenets of international law and the laws of war have been kind of denuded of their proper moral force by the way that the sole superpower in the world has acted under the Bush administration and previously, I might add. So that's, I think, a sad lesson to draw from this crisis.
Well, and I don't know exactly what prison they were detained in Tehran, but I do recall the atrocities committed by Sabak, the secret police under the Shah, before the revolution of 1979. And while, most Iranians are pretty young, at least Ahmadinejad and his generation in the leadership are certainly very aware of the torture that the Shah perpetrated on his opponents during his lengthy U.S.-supported rule.
Yes, certainly. And that, of course, is, a very important part of his psychic makeup and the makeup of the entire revolutionary generation in Iran.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. You can visit their website, merip.org. And as we continue, I'll get his reaction to Nancy Pelosi's Middle East tour this week and the denunciations of it from the White House, including Darth Dick Cheney on the Rush Limbaugh show just yesterday. More coming up right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Our body bodies function best when we're in the right pH range and to begin to rot when we're not. Native pH Rescue can make the difference between enjoying a vibrant life or suffering a state of constant decline by helping balance your pH so you've let go of aches, pains, and needless suffering. Years of wisdom from native tradition combined with current nutritional research have given us a simple but effective formulation. Feel better now. Call 1-866-972-3461 or visit www.nativehealthradio.com.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Just into the Peter B. Collins Show, Monica Goodling, who was liaison from the Justice Department to the White House, one of Pat Robertson's moles in the Bush administration, has resigned in the Gonzales flap.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces.
We continue with Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Chris, next I wanted to get your reaction to Nancy Pelosi's week-long tour of the Middle East. While her trip to Damascus drew the most attention and a sharp rebuke from Bush and Cheney, she visited virtually all of the major capitals there. What's your sense of her role as speaker and how she can try to shift the politics of the region and the kind of, backlog or jam up that really confronts Bush and his cronies right now?
Well, I'm afraid the trip was kind of much ado about nothing. I don't know what Pelosi's calculation was in undertaking it. Perhaps just to see things firsthand herself and to convey to the leaders in that part of the world that there is another party here that very much hopes to and expects to take the White House back in 2008. I don't think that her trip will have any sort of concrete consequences for any of the diplomatic tracks, any of the stalled diplomatic tracks in the region. There was one seeming glimmer of hope that was swiftly quashed. There were reports during her trip to Damascus that she was carrying some kind of olive branch from Israeli Prime Minister Olmert to mm-hmm. Syrian President Assad, and that was swiftly denied by the Israeli Prime Minister's office, although it'd be interesting to know the backstory there, since we know that the U.S. has actually intervened on at least one occasion to halt Israel from pursuing Syrian overtures to restart bilateral negotiations between those two countries. So one wonders if that happened again.
Well, and in this case, is it presumed that Pelosi fumbled or that Olmert is playing a kind of game of bluff or denial?
I'm not sure. It could be either one. But
she claims, in fact, there was a post that came out yesterday quoting her spokesman, Brendan Daly, saying that, look, she was briefed by the State Department. State Department officials were with her at every stop.
Yeah.
And they're essentially the neutral arbiters or the guys in the referee uniforms who could actually report on what was said, A, by Olmert, and B, you know, whether that was consistent with what she delivered to Bashar Assad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what may have happened is there may have been White House intervention, or what may have happened is that Olmert either misspoke in his meeting with Pelosi or later regretted something he had said that seemed to go too far, that was not couched in the careful diplomatic language that he would prefer, and that he didn't like the way it was being reported.
Mm-hmm.
He probably does not feel politically strong enough himself within Israeli domestic politics to undertake a major move like that anyway. Given what we know about the past Bush administration intervention to halt Israeli-Syrian bilateral talks, that's at least a tantalizing possibility that, mm-hmm. that the White House moved in here.
Yeah. And it was interesting because the talking points coming out of the administration focused almost exclusively on Pelosi visiting Damascus. But she was preceded by three Republicans just 2 or 3 days ahead of her,
yeah.
and followed a day later by Daryl Issa, the Lebanese-American from Southern California. And he is unapologetic, as she was, about pursuing these talks. And they both claim that they're not directly undermining the president or his policies. Let's go to Jake in Arcata. Jake, welcome. You're on the air with Chris Tonsing.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Chris. Yeah, I would just like to ask, why is it that when a Democratic political leader like Nancy Pelosi goes to Syria, it's an act of treason, apparently, according to people like Fox News, but when Republicans go over, it's no problem. It's okay. What's up with that double standard?
Well, Chris, you want to take a shot at that?
Oh, I think it's just crass partisan politics at its very worst. Unfortunately, both the Bush administration and Fox News are seasoned practitioners of that black art. Pretty shameless ones at that. I think the most ridiculous attack on Nancy Pelosi was this attack that she's supposedly compromising her feminism by wearing a headscarf when she visits the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus. Now, of course, any woman who actually wants to be admitted to the Umayyad Mosque would have to don a headscarf. And if you are a man who is wearing shorts, you would have to don pants. That is just the way it's done. And you have to take off your shoes regardless of what sex you wear. This is just showing proper respect to the Muslim house of worship. And that was the most disingenuous attack that was mounted on Pelosi, I thought.
All right, Jake, thanks for the call today. Appreciate that. Chris, what about the efforts that Condoleezza Rice has recently engaged in for ongoing meetings between Olmert and some of his opponents? Is this true shuttle diplomacy, or is this just PR?
I don't think it's true shuttle diplomacy, unfortunately. I think that this is very closely tied to the ongoing but somewhat flagging U.S. efforts to put together a coalition of the so-called moderate Arab states led by Saudi Arabia against Iran. And this trip to Israel to sort of allegedly to jumpstart a peace process between Israel and the Palestinians is a sop, I think, to the Saudi king to give him something to show to his population and the wider Arab population that there is at least a process and that the Saudis at least have some influence over the White House in this crucial arena. I don't see any substantive change, and in fact it was reported in the Israeli press when Rice was over there that just as with some previous trips by Colin Powell back in 2002, that even while Rice was in the region, giving the Israelis one message, that the Israelis were hearing another message entirely from by telephone from Elliot Abrams, who's the one of the top National Security Council officials dealing with the Middle East. And Abrams would convey the message that basically this is all for show and we're not going to exert any pressure on you at all.
Chris Tongsing, thanks for joining us on the
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Alberto Gonzalez loses another aide.
A top Justice Department official resigns in the scandal over firings of U.S. attorneys. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
Breakthrough kidney transplant decision.
The ruling by the Justice Department clears the way for a national program.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A top aide to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who's been the Justice Department's liaison with the White House, has submitted her resignation, effective tomorrow.
Monica Goodling worked in relative anonymity at the Justice Department until the scandal erupted over the administration's firing of U.S. attorneys. Her decision to take the Fifth Amendment before Congress changed that. And legal analyst Andrew Cohen expects there will be speculation now on whether she'll agree to tell all she knows.
My guess is that she won't, that her lawyers already have convinced her she still can better protect herself by refusing to answer questions before Congress.
Critics have called the 33-year-old Goodling the Justice Department's enforcer of political loyalty. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Goodling is the third Justice Department official involved in the prosecutor firings to resign. The Attorney General's Chief of Staff, Kyle Sampson, stepped down last month, and Mike Battle, director of the office that supervised U.S. attorneys, has also departed. Now this.
Raindrops keep falling.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Sale ends April 28th.
If you can't make it to the 2007 Masters, you can still be there online with AT&T. Just log on to attblueroom.com/sports or masters.org, and you can see live coverage of everything from the green jacket putting green ceremony to video previews, player interviews, daily recaps, and a live video stream from Amen Corner. So log on to attblueroom.com/sports during the 2007 Masters, and you won't miss a shot. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
The government ruling today greatly expands the opportunities for people who need a new kidney.
The Justice Department gives the green light to a promising kidney transplant procedure that could allow thousands of desperately waiting patients to receive organs they need. It says it's not illegal for donors with organs incompatible with relatives to be matched to strangers and for those relatives to get kidneys in exchange. Johns Hopkins surgeon Robert Montgomery brought attention to the issue last fall with a unique five-way domino donor transplant.
The ruling by the Justice Department clears the way for a national program.
And when it's up and running in a year or two?
Roughly 3,000. 100,000 people could be transplanted essentially immediately.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Daylight saving time was extended this year to help save energy, but the plan may have backfired. In the 3 weeks after the time change in March, the Energy Department says gasoline consumption rose to record levels for the period, suggesting that extra hour of daylight has encouraged us to do more driving. Big round of applause today as those freed British sailors appeared to talk about their captivity in Iran. First off, they denied violating the Iranian border.
When taken by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, we were well inside Iraqi territorial waters.
Lieutenant Felix Carman disavowed his appearance in a video put out by Iran in which he seemed to say otherwise.
At no time did we actually say we apologize for intruding into Iranian waters. At all times, we stuck to our guns and we said no. We were conducting our operations legally.
The sailors say they were subjected to psychological pressure, threatened with 7 years in prison if they didn't confess. One night they were lined up against a wall, blindfolded, and heard weapons being cocked behind them. Iran says today's news conference was staged and claims the sailor statements were dictated by the British government. More than two dozen people were killed today when a suicide bomber drove a truck loaded with TNT and chlorine gas into a police checkpoint in Ramadi, Iraq. Reportedly, the attack was the work of Al-Qaeda, retaliation for the efforts of Sunnis to drive foreign fighters out of Iraq. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports on five convicted sex offenders sleeping on cardboard under a South Florida highway bridge.
They're living there because they can't find affordable housing that doesn't violate their parole. Sex offenders aren't allowed to live within 2,500 feet of schools, parks, or other places where children are commonly found in Miami-Dade County. A state corrections spokeswoman says the situation isn't ideal, but homeless shelters won't take them in either. At this point, they don't have any other options.
Officials say the offenders are actively searching for a better place to live. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
He is a ruthless killer, hiding in the shadows. He is a vicious madman who preys on what you love. Who is this man who knows so much and stays just out of reach? Meet Shadow Man, the riveting thriller by Cody McFadden. When Shadow Man takes on the FBI's most brilliant and most troubled agent, she'll stop at nothing to bring him to justice, even if it means entering the shadows. Read Shadow Man by Cody McFadden in paperback from Bantam.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We passed it three times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We got to add to the list another great San Francisco value, no more of those annoying plastic grocery bags. Let's talk about climate change. How about it, huh?
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming.
Oh, thanks for the intro. That's Dr. Elmo. I'm Peter B. Collins, and joining us now is Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. He's a professor of public policy at the Richard and Rhoda Goldman School of Public Policy, and he is a professor of Energy and Society, Energy and Resources Group, and also is the director of the Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory. Dan Kamen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, well, thanks a lot for having me on.
Nice to talk with you. Tell us a little bit more about RAEL, Renewable and Appropriate Energy Lab. What are you doing there?
Well, that's the laboratory that I direct on campus that focuses on renewables pretty broadly. We've got engineers, physicists, economists, political scientists, people in rhetoric, all working on different aspects of clean energy technology research.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of bleeds between doing basic science, some engineering, and then the policy analysis to consider which technologies, policies make most sense given different situations.
Mm-hmm. And you're a real brainiac. You got an undergraduate and doctorate degrees in physics at Cornell and then Harvard, and then a postdoc fellow at Caltech and back to Harvard where you worked on renewable energy. How long have you been over at Berkeley?
Since 1998.
Okay. Well, very interesting. Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Now, I wanted to get your comments. Dateline Brussels today, sources Reuters here. Scientists clashed with government officials at a UN panel on climate change over how strongly global warming is affecting plants and animals and the degree to which humans are causing temperatures to rise. And it appears this is a battle between scientists and the political people over how bad the problem is and what is achievable in the current context. Is that fair?
That's quite fair. There were a couple different levels of battles, one of which was just the language of science versus the language of politics. With the first report, and this is actually the second of four reports to come out this year, the first report was just the science. This report is what the science means for our options. It's kind of a complicated, you know, bridge. And then the next two are on impacts and adaptation to climate change. And one of the issues here was that the scientists were providing their assessments. What's the percentage likelihood that the Antarctic ice sheet will melt? What's the percentage likelihood that we'll get melting or all the other things? But the politicians don't normally speak in that language of risks quantified that way. They want to know things like, more like, is this unlikely, likely, very likely, or certain? More like the categories that we often get for insurance, which is actually where we're going to likely deal with many of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a battle there, but then we had a battle that went on actually most of last night between the scientists and the politicians who had decided that we need to do something about global warming, and people like the delegates from Saudi Arabia, Australia, the U.S. was kind of on this camp too, trying to remove words like climate change is very likely to have major effects to just saying climate change is likely to have effects. And while this is just single word changes, because these become the framework documents for countries and the European Union, people to act on in large amounts, it really matters to get it right. And so far, they've been getting it relatively right. They've been watering down a few things based on political objections.
You remember that bad radio commercial for Verbal Advantage? People do judge you by the words you use.
They do, actually. And these words really matter. Something that's likely versus very likely translates very differently into how strong the policies will be.
Well, I actually went to the footnotes here. It's called Inbox 2 in the summary, management summary, whatever we call it.
The summary for policymakers.
Of the report. It reads, likelihood and confidence language. In this summary for policymakers, the following terms have been used to indicate the assessed likelihood of an outcome or a result. Virtually certain is 99% probability of occurrence. Extremely likely is about 95%. Very likely, 90%. Likely, 66%. More likely than not is 50-50. And very unlikely is at the 10% level. Extremely unlikely is at the 5% level. So people can get an idea of the range.
Right.
Now, in the terms of confidence in the statements used, very high confidence is a 90% chance of being correct. High confidence is an 80% chance. And it appears that the debate was over whether they had very high confidence or just high confidence.
Right, right. And that does matter. I think that, you know, the bigger result, because this sort of got resolved, they did debate all overnight, two nights straight. I think they wore themselves down, and they more or less went with the scientific conclusions. There are some places I and others would like it stronger. But the real, I think, big lesson emerging here was the clear statement that the poor countries are actually going to suffer more than the rich are, at least in the beginning, because by being poor, you don't have money. I guess that's the definition.
Mm-hmm.
But that means they have less ability to respond. If sea level rise were to hit San Francisco, we would be talking tomorrow about where to build seawalls and dikes and all kinds of things. That's not an option for many poor parts of the world. And, of course, the populace themselves don't have the ability to move inland to do various things. And this is, I think, an important clarifying step. It doesn't mean that we're not all in it together, but it means that lack of action is going to hurt the poor up front in ways that we've been talking about for a while, but this document really helped to clarify. I hope that's actually going to generate a higher level of awareness and maybe even a little bit of earlier action on climate change.
We're talking with Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley about this newest report from the IPCC, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And is this directly related to the United Nations, or is this a group that's an offshoot of the UN, Dan?
Well, it is one of the United Nations agencies. The IPCC, as it's called, is a collection of, it's a changing cast of characters, but it's roughly 2,000 scientists drawn from all countries coming together to meet, analyze the current state of data, and then to produce these reports. And I've served on it. Many scientists at Stanford, Berkeley, other universities have been on it at various times. And that group then makes this report, and then it basically has a high-level meeting with government ministers to figure out what aspects should we just translate into practice. So one strong conclusion this time was that droughts are likely to become more frequent, and food production regions may begin to shift. And once again, that will hurt all of us, but it'll hurt the poor particularly hard. And so poor nations may need to be thinking now about how to protect their groundwater, how to protect their citizens in ways that we are a little bit more insulated against in the north.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at this world map that's included in the policymaker's summary. And it appears that at least the identified potential impacts appear to be more in the northern hemisphere than in the southern hemispheres. Is that an accurate reading of this?
Sort of. I mean, the answer is sort of and yes. The reason why it appears more in the north is because there's more land in the north. And what we will see in climate change is not just sort of some steady, mild warming, which is actually why global warming is not a very good term. It sort of sounds like a day at the beach to some people. It really should be variations and some violent fluctuations in our climate, none of which you're likely to like. That's a little bit too long, but that's sort of what it should be called. And with more of the land in the north, we are going to see larger changes in sea level rise, stronger heat waves and things in the northern hemisphere, just because there's more land there where people live than in the south. But the two really high salience events that just happened recently were both in the south. Australia just went through a massive drought, and we are not likely to know for some time what fraction of it was caused by global warming, but it's likely to be a contributor. And last year was the first time in recorded history we'd ever seen a hurricane in the South Pacific. And hurricanes are driven by warm water, like the Katrina event. And, again, we can't prove what fraction is coming from global warming, but the first time we've ever seen a hurricane right when the planet is at its warmest in many hundreds of thousands of years is likely to be more than a coincidence.
Now, counsel me, because I don't want to be overly alarmist in discussing these things and passing along information, but this week there was a forecast released regarding major storms, tropical storms, and hurricanes predicted for this coming hurricane season, roughly from June through November. And they predicted that there is a higher probability of more extreme weather events this year. How reliable is that to begin with, and can we link it plausibly to the warming of the planet?
Well, we definitely, the answer is yes. And the qualifications are really just what the uncertainty is. And it's the same thing that the policymakers and scientists were debating. Are we saying it's very likely or simply that it's likely? The hurricane prediction process has gotten pretty good. And they can't tell you which city or which piece of coastline will be hit by one, but they can tell you what the likely numbers and magnitudes are. And some of what's driving the predictions that we will have a larger than average hurricane year are the fact that we currently predict, through a combination of surface warming and El Nino events, which are related to climate change but kind of indirectly, is that we expect warmer than average sea surface right during the hurricane forming season, which means stronger hurricanes and more hurricanes.
Okay. And how do we deal with the deniers who don't even want to link, for example, the extreme weather that we saw with Hurricane Katrina to these climate change issues?
So I guess everything in life is a coincidence is sort of the right-wing conspiracy. I mean, what's disappointing about the debate isn't that there isn't, I mean, the fact that there are people saying, I don't think this is global warming, That would be fine if there was an alternative hypothesis that they were invoking. They were saying, well, the other competing hypothesis is it's not global warming, but it's due to microwave activity of Martians are beaming at the Earth. There was some other hypothesis that they were saying. This is a one-sided argument with one side saying, here's what the collective world scientists are saying based on models and observations, and this story holds together. And then the other side of the debate isn't, well, here's our competing hypothesis. It's that we just simply choose to not believe it.
Right. We got to take a break. We'll continue with Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. We're talking about the IPCC report issued today, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. If you have a question or comment, call me. If you're feeling personally warm, you can call me too. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be on the show. If you're looking for wealth building strategies, buying ahead of the curve, and buying below the market in real estate, this is the show for you. That's this Sunday morning at 10. Your number one choice for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. Brought to you by IPX 1031. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And we'll have a good appetite with traffic right now, and let's tell you the latest. Happy Friday, everybody. This is Good Friday, and let's tell you about Greenfield Metz Road at Blue Jay Lane. We have a large, get ready for this, folks, tarp in the middle lanes. And then we have Salinas, where we look at, northbound 101, just before Potter. It is a piece of guardrail. Somehow the guardrail wound up in the left lane. No explanation for that, but nevertheless, it's there. Then we're going to talk about our road work. Highway 1 southbound to Morrissey. The on and off ramps closed 24 hours a day. Some slow traffic being reported. Southbound 1 slows from between Monterey and Carmel. The report brought to you by J.C. Petty. Gentlemen, it's Van Husen Week at the men's store at JCPenney with huge savings in all Van Husen clothes you need. It's easy to get in and find it and get out. Looking good matters at JCPenney's. That's traffic in KRXA.
I'll second that.
Is true. Dragnet.
Hey, Friday.
Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. And I think you had a weekend getaway planned, and you may have delayed it to talk with us today. I appreciate that, Professor.
No problem.
All righty. And we've got a question from Dave in Eureka. Dave, go right ahead. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter and Professor Dan. One of the questions that goes through my mind on a number of levels, but let's say those corporatists who are largely inflicting the harm on this planet and denying it all, claiming it's not there, do you guess that they are willfully, knowingly doing all this damage and don't care how much harm they do if the bucks are in it, or do they somehow have a mechanism for reframing reality that they can buy into?
Good question.
I actually don't think people are doing it to be malicious, because that sort of means that you hate your children or your grandchildren. So I don't think that's it. I think part of it is that the effects are going to come at us sort of in waves, and they're not going to be directly connected to how much coal you shoveled into a power plant today. So it's easy to disconnect them, and these things take time. And plus the fact that even if you, as the operator of a coal plant in Ohio, turn it down by 10%, it has such a negligible effect on the overall mix unless you see international cooperation and policies that translate that to China, to India, to Texas, that it's kind of easy to say, well, my role isn't going to be that big, and relative to my potential profits, that I don't see the connection that strongly. So I don't think it's a willful effort to mess up the planet. I just think this is a sort of a global emergency, but it's a slow simmering one. It's not one that you can sort of have at the 11th hour, we'll all get serious and pull things together. It's one that builds up.
And, Dan, I have a slightly different take. I recently broke down and agreed to have Myron Ebell on the program.
Mm-hmm.
He claims to be the climate change specialist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which has received millions of dollars from ExxonMobil and other resource extractors. And he was so lame. I mean, it really was disappointing. I thought he was going to have some fiery arguments and some great science to present. And he really reduced himself to arguing about Al Gore's utility bills. And he flunked the big quiz question I had for him, which is, he hasn't seen the movie Thank You for Smoking.
Yes, well, I didn't say there weren't a few bad actors who were doing it intentionally.
Yeah, craven is the word that came to mind as I was talking with him.
But, there is a feature that the media, at least the mainstream media, makes it very easy and popular to be that dissenter. And with 2,000 scientists saying it's a problem, the benefits of you as an individual, whether you're a scientific expert or not, to say, well, just wait a minute, I'm the contrarian, is pretty high. Now, there are many news shows that even when 99.9% of people, whether it's science or politics, agree, they will go find that one dissenter so you can have a quote-unquote balanced show. Whether that's balanced or just grandstanding, I'll leave to people to decide.
All right. Dave, you got a follow-up?
Well, I just thought that if they look at the same evidence that you do, Dan, and do they see two different... reality seems to be self-evident. How do they see it different than you do?
Well, and Dan, before you answer, I'll just reference Ross Gelbspan in his book Boiling Point, which echoes something you commented on a couple of minutes ago, that it's the insurance companies that really are feeling the impact and the cost of climate change issues and these extreme weather events, and they seem to be the capitalists who are most open to dealing with the problems.
Well, that's right. And, of course, the insurance and also the reinsurance industry, the people that insure the insurers, they're one of the few industries whose time scale is actually decades. They're not as concerned about what happens next quarter as what happens 10 years from now, because that's when their big payouts might come. So it is interesting, and it's no coincidence, that that part of the business sector that has the most long-term view is, in fact, the most worried about climate change, which tells me that people are reading the science somewhat subjectively, based on are they trying to make next quarter profitable or next decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else would you consider to be among the enlightened, and we might not expect it given where they're coming from?
Well, I actually think that U.S. industry is starting to get it. There's been a group of major U.S. corporations, including General Electric and Duke Energy and Alcoa. They're an aluminum producer, and they use a lot of energy.
Yeah, the UTX deal is interesting.
That's right. These people have come together to say that not only are we concerned about global warming, but we actually need to act. And interestingly, what they're saying is we need the president to act because a hodgepodge of different state policies, as we're getting now as states are frustrated with lack of federal action,
mm-hmm.
is not the best way for the country to go because it sets different standards in different states. And if we simply had a global warming policy
yeah.
in this country, U.S. companies could compete much better against Europeans. And so I think that the mainstream of the Fortune 500 companies mm-hmm. that are saying we need to deal with it, that right. would be my unexpected group.
Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Yes, Radio Network. In Brussels, officials from more than 100 countries stayed up all night debating just how scary to make the latest UN global warming report. And the result?
The already parched areas of sub-Sahara Africa will get hotter, drier, and less able to support populations. And the low-lying areas of Asia, called the mega deltas, will be particularly vulnerable to sea level rise.
Basically, places most Americans will never go. No mention of jellyfish stinging pedestrians in Manhattan.
Most impacts of climate change will be felt very regionally. And it's true that some parts of the world are more vulnerable than others.
That was the U.S. representative. Translation, it's the third world's problem. There's no need to regulate anything except maybe Al Gore's heated swimming pool. Except, wait a minute, the journal Science has also published a climate study predicting that by 2050 there will be persistent drought throughout the American Southwest, places Americans have heard of, like Las Vegas and Phoenix. Now what do we do? Well, at times like these, I just turned on the weather report.
Portland, Maine, look at this. Thousands lost power after strong snowstorms covered that area. Now you go back to Marquette, Michigan. They added another 7 inches to the 24 they already had.
Yes, if there's snow in April, how can there be global warming? And I hear everything in Baghdad is just fine, too.
Things are getting better in Iraq.
I bought 5 rugs for $5.
Like a normal outdoor market in Indiana in the summertime.
Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cook Kajarias. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. Who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Actually, it's beyond time.
It's time to go home, to take our boys away, to take our girls away.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes after the hour. I'd like you to meet Tina Richards, my first opportunity to meet her, too. Tina, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for your activism. As our listeners are about to hear, you are the mother of an Iraq War veteran who has served two tours, and you've had enough, he's had enough. And you have been trying, so far in vain, to secure a meeting with the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Tell us about your efforts to talk to Ms. Pelosi.
Well, since November 9th, I and other military families, as well as Iraq veterans and active duty military that have signed the appeal for redress, have been going to her office trying to get a meeting with her. We were hoping that we could impress upon her how much we've suffered because of this war and how important it was to act as soon as possible to get legislation passed that would bring all of the troops home and to hear our voices and what we had to say.
And so far she has been unable to find the time to visit with you?
Yeah, at this particular time she has not even returned a phone call, except for once her scheduler called and said, and this was right after the David Obey incident, and she called to tell me that, the scheduler called to tell me that she will schedule an appointment with me next week, and then that never came to pass.
Really?
Yeah, not even a phone call back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very disappointed to hear this, and I just for your information, I know Nancy Pelosi, and 12 years ago I worked on a political campaign for her, and I'm going to do my best behind the scenes to see if I can talk to some people and at least find out why she is refusing or deflecting this and see if we can't make something happen. I know her well enough to know that if it were just left up to her, she probably would have met with you by now. And that either political considerations or perhaps, objections from other members of the Democratic caucus have gotten in the way. Do you have any inkling? Are there any indications of why she's avoiding you?
Well, I really don't know why. All I can do is surmise that I know that her and Steny Hoyer really pushed hard on this supplemental to get it passed. And we're very much everybody in the peace community and that has been working really hard to end this war is very much opposed to giving George Bush another $100 billion to conduct the war.
Yeah.
And then the four reasons of why they're going to continue having troops in there even after August of 08, is pretty much every reason why we have troops in there now. So we don't see it as real legislation, and that's partly of why we wanted to open up the dialogue with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why she wouldn't want to open up the dialogue. I really don't understand.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen it, but my information here says you've written a book called How Will We End This War?
Actually, it was just an article that I wrote.
Okay.
I am in the process of getting writing a book on that.
Oh, okay. And the article, where would people find it?
It would be on my website, grassrootsamericaforus.org.
Okay, that's grassrootsamerica, the number 4us.org. And let's see, I'm looking at the website right now. And is it Congress, How Will You End the War blog?
No, that's just a new blog that I just put up. I've been on the road right now, but it should be there in the newsletters. I send out newsletters usually every week.
Under newsletters, okay, I'm looking now. And let's see, I have one, a post from March 29th called Marine Mom, Toughest Job in the Corps. Is it?
That is very true. It is the toughest job in the Corps. I don't know how much background on this, but what brought me to D.C. and started all this actually was that my son, who had served twice honorably, discharged, and he was being recalled back for a third tour of duty to Iraq. And I just, personally, he was so injured and so harmed, and we'd spent a year fighting with the VA just trying to get him some treatment for his physical and mental injuries. And when I got notice that they were going to be reactivating him for a third tour of duty, that's when I put my foot down and I said, no, this is just not going to happen.
Well, describe for us on the second tour. Apparently you got a phone call from him while he was on duty in the middle of the night in Iraq, and he was contemplating suicide as he spoke to you over the phone. Is that correct?
Well, what had happened in Fallujah was that he was artillery, and they were given coordinates to shoot insurgents that were supposed to be rushing them. This is during Fallujah, during the first siege. And he was the number one gun, and they started firing. And when they got there, because every time you go, you shoot in artillery, you still have to secure any weapons. And what he found was a lot of dead, innocent women and children just trying to flee the town.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened, actually, I guess, in multiple occasions. And on top of that, they were ordered to use white phosphorus to what they called shake and bake missions.
We're familiar with that.
Yeah, and it devastated him. I mean, he would call me up telling me that the gun was in his mouth and he wanted to pull the trigger, and I would talk him out of it. This got worse as he got closer to being discharged after he was home, and I would tell his commanding officer and not to keep putting him on MP duty, where he would continue to have a loaded sidearm by his side.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much said, if he doesn't come to us, then it's not a problem. And it was treated that if you do have a problem with being involved with this, then you must have a character defect. And they treat the soldiers and the Marines that come home as character defects if they admit that they had a problem with what happened. So they're not seeking the treatment when they have easier access to it. And then once you're out into the VA system, they have currently over 300,000 veterans backlogged into the system that are waiting anywhere from 6 months to 2 years just to get a review of their case to see if they need anything. And that's where we got trapped in, where he was disabled and he couldn't function, and they were going to send him back for a third tour of duty.
Tina, as I hear you describe this, it almost fails me to try to imagine what it's like to be on the other end of that phone call and to feel as helpless as you must in trying to talk your son out of taking his life due to the stress and the trauma of what he's experienced serving our country in Iraq, and the powerlessness that you must feel. And I guess that you're in some ways trying to compensate for that by attempting to take your message directly to Speaker Pelosi.
And, Peter, that's exactly what it is. 2 years of feeling completely powerless, my son 6,000 miles away, and wanting to do what every mother wants to do, which is to, you know, take care of their child and protect their child no matter what age that they are. And when you see such injustice happen on your child and you don't know what you can do, it just, I guess, drives you into activism like it has me. And then when I was able to do something this time, when they were saying you're going for a third tour of duty and we don't care how damaged you are and we're not even going to help you in between time to get healed, I said enough. And I was in Washington, D.C., and I promised my son that his voice would be heard in the halls of Congress. Mm-hmm. And that when I heard that the Democratic leadership was going to push to continue to fund this war, that's when it really, really just, I didn't care anymore about Democrat or Republican. It just became a matter of what's right. And we were promised that they would find a way out of Iraq for us. And I don't want to wait for 31 resolutions and 6 years later, or because it's just every death is so personal to me. And then they have this latest recall of the National Guard where I have my foster son now possibly going back for his second tour of duty. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if it's wrong in 18 months, if this war is illegal and immoral and unjust in 18 months, and the troops need to come home, then it's wrong today.
Yeah.
And they need to come home. And it's the Democratic leadership that's pushing this, saying that the Republican talking points is saying, if you support the troops, we've got to continue to fund George Bush's war. And I absolutely don't agree with that. And I'm hoping that if we can sit down and talk and discuss what is real support for the troops as being the ones most affected by this war, that we can reach Nancy Pelosi and come to some dialogue and understanding of where we can help each other.
Yeah. We're talking with Tina Richards here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to direct you to the website, grassrootsamerica4us.org. I'll say it again, grassrootsamerica4us.org. And here on the homepage, Tina, I'm looking at the letter that you wrote Walter Jones, a member of Congress from the Carolinas, one of the few Republicans who has found a moral center and expressed his deep opposition to this war. And
he was absolutely wonderful to me when I met with him, too.
Well, and Jeremy
personally apologized to me
for
voting for this war.
Well, and he has written a letter of condolence, I believe, to every family that has lost a son or daughter in this war. And it was that process that led him to his personal soul searching and his change of heart and change of political position on this war. And I have a great deal of respect for Walter Jones. Now, in the letter, you point out that your son Cloy served two tours as a Marine in Iraq, and he was honorably discharged in July of 2005, received the Presidential Unit Citation. At that point, he must have thought that his duties were complete. And then he has been facing this involuntary recall of the individual ready reserves. This is the backdoor draft that people talk about. And he actually was called up. Is that correct? For a third tour?
Well, he was called up to report in on March 24th to report in for reactivation to go serve in OIF, which is Operation Iraqi Freedom. And what had happened was I was going to each member of Congress and seeking meetings with them, the ones that were on the Subcommittee of Defense. Well, first I went to my own representatives. I should clear that out. I'm from Missouri, and I went to my own representatives. And they offered to individually just help him. And I went to my son, and I said, they will help you. And he said, are they going to bring all of my brothers and sisters home? And I said, no, they're willing to help just you. And he said, then I can't take that help. I'm not going to be a political pawn for them. As during the election, he was in Claire McCaskill's commercial, and we've worked so hard to get the Democratic majority, and then was pretty much shut out afterwards, once they were elected, from any voice or even any meetings with anybody, including our own senator. So I went to the Subcommittee of Defense after my son told me he wouldn't be used as a political pawn, and he wanted all of his brothers and sisters home because he cannot rest. even get a decent night's sleep until he knows they're all home. Because this war on our veterans tears them apart every single day that it rages on.
Yeah, Tina, let me stop you there. I need to take a break. We'll pick up right there when we continue in just a moment. We're talking with Tina Richards, the mother of Cloy Richards, who, as you heard, served two tours in Iraq and has serious stress, depression, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And we'll talk more as we continue. If you have a question or comment, you can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Yeah. And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. And it is Good Friday, everybody. Let's do mention our problem. We've got to one in Salinas, northbound 101 before Potter Road. It's a piece of guardrail in the left lane and not causing much of a problem. No, that's the good news. Other than that, Greenfield Metz Road at Blue Jay Lane. We have a large tarp in the roadway, and we're going to tell you a little about that. Also want to mention a stall. It is in Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound after Dunn. It's a big rig blocking one of the lanes there. And 152 at Casa de Fruta. We have a grass fire. It's burning the center divide. This report brought to you by Accountemps. Accountemps, to access their extensive local network of highly skilled finance and accounting professionals, contact one of their 13 Bay Area offices today or visit them at Accountemps.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes away from the hour. After the top of the hour news, our weekly visit with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Right now, we're talking with activist and mom, Tina Richards. You've heard her son, Cloy, served honorably in the Marines, two tours in Iraq. Serious psychological impacts as he really wrestled with his assigned duties of killing people in Fallujah, and the targets turned out often to be innocent women and children, and he's had a very hard time, as you can imagine, coping with that since his return. And just as we had to go to the break, Tina, we were talking about the ready reserve status that Cloy is currently in and the attempt to ship him for a third tour of Iraq without, as you said, even addressing the problems that he encountered on the first two.
Yeah, that is where I was at, and my son would not accept help unless they were helping everybody, and it doesn't appear that we're going to be getting that help immediately anytime soon. So I went back, and unsuccessfully the supplemental was passed, and it still has a process to go through, and I'm hoping that Nancy Pelosi will work from a position of strength and get a lot more put into that supplemental that really will bring our troops home.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I was told that the Department of Defense doesn't work with the VA system. His evaluation and paperwork couldn't be completed, and there was nothing I could do. And so I continued to speak out and talk to members of Congress. And when my son reported in on March 24th to the individual Ready Reserve Marine Mobilization Unit, there was a representative from the Veterans Administration that handed him an evaluation showing that he was 80% combat-related disabled, that he'd be moved to the front of the line from now on at the hospital so we wouldn't have to wait 6 months for an appointment, and that he would not have to be deployed again. And when he called and told me, I rejoiced in that. It was that, you know, somebody heard, somebody did something. And he said, but Mom, one of my best friends has just as disabled as me, and they're shipping him out. And I just was immediately overwhelmed with the guilt that, you know, someone else is going in my son's place.
Yeah.
And until this war is over, I'll still have that guilt. And that, I guess, is what drives me.
And, Tina, I strongly support the proposals of Barbara Lee, Dennis Kucinich, Maxine Waters, Lynn Woolsey, which really are directed at pulling the troops out at the earliest possible date and ending the funding for the war itself. And I believe that while Pelosi and Reid may have good intentions and believe that this is the best strategy to bring their fractured caucuses together and build opposition to the war incrementally, I share your not only concern but kind of devastation that they can pursue this incremental strategy while every day four or five more American troops die and 50 or 100 Iraqis are killed.
And that's the heart of it, is that we don't have time. Senator Reid said the other day, time is on our side, and I kept thinking, how many troops have died today? You know, I mean, this morning, or just before I went to bed last night, there was 8 troops that died. Yeah, and it was another one I heard that died during that same time period, and it was, the time is not on our side. And
yeah,
that's why we want to work with Nancy Pelosi to see what we can do to get what needs to be done to get the votes, to get the various, like you said, Dennis Kucinich, Barbara Lee, Lynn Woolsey. There's so many of them that have some good proposals there, and we want to work with them. We want them to be our ally. And we don't understand why we're being shut out of this, the whole
mm-hmm.
process.
Well, and in particular, you described the way Cloy, and we saw it in other campaigns, but Cloy was used, I'll put that in quotes for now, by the Claire McCaskill Senate race. It was a very tight race, and she ran a very carefully constructed campaign. But to use an injured vet like your son to help win the election and then turn her back on him after she won the race, I'm sorry, I cannot rationalize or justify that in any way.
Neither can I. I had started calling to ask for an appointment almost immediately and never even got a return phone call back from her office. I mean, that's the one thing, is that we can't even get a return phone call back, a courtesy call to even tell us no.
Yeah.
And that is so frustrating. After the last 4 years of my life, every single moment has been lived with this war.
Mm-hmm.
With my son's deployments or fighting to end it, I've lived with this war, and I don't understand why we're being shut out of this process.
And, Tina, it's interesting because when I got confirmation that you could be on with us today, I said, well, you know, I'd gotten a news release that there is an encampment in Crawford at Camp Casey to greet the president on his Easter break, and I learned that your son, Cloy, is there at Camp Casey.
Yes, he is. As a matter of fact, I'm about 120 miles from there. Right now I'm on tour with the Make Hip Hop Not War with Reverend Yearwood.
Oh, yeah.
And We're going to be performing there tomorrow night. And so my son and I will be together with the Make Hip Hop Not War tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also, it's also coming towards, it's a national tour, and it's going to be in Berkeley, too, on the 11th.
Okay.
At the Sports Plaza on the UC Berkeley campus.
Okay, that's April 11th. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, between 12 and 2. I won't be there. I've got to head back to Congress because I need to continue to hold their feet to the fire to do the right thing.
Well, Tina, it's a pleasure to meet you under these difficult circumstances. I have deep respect for you. You're speaking for many Americans, and please keep that work up, and let's talk again, and I hope that we can get a breakthrough for you, at least a courtesy return phone call from the Pelosi staff. I'm going to work on that next week and see if I can shake something loose.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Tina Richards, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Brad Friedman joins us. We'll talk about election integrity, and the French have turned up their noses at touchscreen voting machines. They said, Monsieur, no, merci. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Monica Goodling, a top aide to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, abruptly resigned today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Goodling has been heavily criticized for announcing she'd take the Fifth Amendment rather than answer congressional questions about the firings of U.S. attorneys. And legal analyst Andrew Cohen says her resignation will probably not change her decision.
She still certainly can, and she probably will, invoke her right to remain silent, at least for now. And the fact that she is no longer a federal employee will not give Congress or any court the power to trump that.
Goodling served as the Justice Department's liaison to the White House, and her name appears often in the emails about the firings released by the administration. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Iran says it was staged, but those 15 British sailors safe at home today contradicted the Iranian claim that they were well-treated in captivity. Sailors say they slept on piles of blankets in stone cells. They were interrogated most nights and threatened with 7 years in prison if they didn't confess to violating Iran's territorial waters. They insist they did not, but when they were captured by the Revolutionary Guard, Captain Chris Ayer says resistance would have been futile.
Had we resisted, there would have been a major fight, one which we could not have won, and with consequences that would have major strategic impact.
At one point, the sailors say they were lined up against a wall, blindfolded, their hands cuffed behind their backs, and they heard weapons being cocked. The opportunities for people with kidney failure expanded dramatically today with a ruling from the Justice Department that approves so-called domino donor transplants.
It works like this. Willing kidney donors with organs incompatible with family members are matched with strangers, and in exchange, their relatives get kidneys too. It was considered illegal under a law barring quid pro quo for organ donation. Now, 5 months after Johns Hopkins surgeon Robert Montgomery challenged the law with a five-way donor swap, the Justice Department says it's legal after all, clearing the way for a national program.
I think it still is going to probably take a year or two before we're actually matching patients up and doing those transplants.
Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
Now, the U.N. Security Council is raising concern about global warming, and CBS News correspondent Jerry Bowen reports the alarm sounded long ago in the American West.
Climate change is already seen as the main culprit in the more intense wildfires, according to a study that blames drought and too much tinder dry fuel for a dramatic change over more than three decades. In just 34 years, the average average time between discovery and control of wildfires has gone from 7.5 to 37 days. The length of the fire season has increased 78 days.
The ancient Colosseum in Rome, Pope Benedict carried a cross at the start of the traditional Good Friday procession. In Jerusalem's Old City, there were many large wooden crosses and candles carried by Christian pilgrims as they retraced the route Jesus is believed to have taken to his crucifixion. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, maker of the 8-pound Orrick XL. You know, there are millions of my amazingly light, incredibly powerful uprights used in the world's finest hotels, airports, offices, and homes. Now, you can try my legendary hotel vac in your home absolutely risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. Hey, all you have to lose is the hidden dirt your present vacuum leaves behind. Call 1-800-989-4200.
Today, the Dollar General just got better. Now get 25 to 50% off our everyday low prices on specially marked apparel.
Dollar General, that's the spot. Look at everything I got.
And 33% off specially marked home decor and housewares while supplies last. See our circular for more great savings, like 100-ounce Tide Liquid for $5, 34.5-ounce Folgers for $50. Good through April 7th. Save time, save money every day.
Dollar General.
A federal judge has ordered a school board in Okeechobee, Florida, to allow meetings of a high school club that promotes tolerance of gays. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
ACLU attorney Ron Rosenwald says it wasn't just a case of discrimination. It was one of the most blatant cases he's seen.
This school is the first in the country to say we are allowing all clubs except the gay and lesbian club, and we should be allowed to do that.
He says the Okeechobee School District violated the Federal Equal Access Act when it banned the Gay Straight Alliance from meeting on campus. A judge agreed and issued a preliminary injunction against the school district, which argued that the group was a sex-based club. Its founders say they started it to deal with gay bashing, harassment, and other issues. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The kids in Enterprise, Alabama don't have a high school, but they had a prom paid for and catered by Rachel Ray, who wanted to help when she heard about the tornado that destroyed the building and killed 8 students. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Sale ends April 28th.
If you can't make it to the 2007 Masters, you can still be there online with AT&T. Just log on to attblueroom.com/sports or masters.org, and you can see live coverage of everything from the green jacket putting green ceremony to video previews, player interviews, daily recaps, and a live video stream from Amen Corner. So log on to attblueroom.com/sports during the 2007 Masters, and you won't miss a shot. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Praise the Lord and pass those ballots, will you?
Those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Glory! With Passover and Easter, Good Friday today, I guess there's spirituality in the air. And it just prompted me to dig up the Reverend Kirk Franklin. and stomp.
Oh, you better put them hands together and have a Holy Ghost party with me.
Yeah, have the Holy Ghost go into the voting booth with you, too, because that's what you need for free and fair elections in this country. It's time for our weekly Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is with us in the traditional green. And we're going to talk about various election issues. There's too much to try to jam into an hour, but we're going to do our doggone best. Hey, Brad, how are you today?
Very good. Peter, how are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Looking forward to a good weekend and, you know, things are moving along okay.
Good.
I wanted to ask you, you told me just before we went on the air, there's some breaking news coming out of Maryland where we have seen some activity recently in the legislature related to voting machines and paper ballots.
Yeah, well, as you know, Maryland has been one of those states, was one of Diebold's original showcase states where they brought in these horrible DRE touchscreen machines without even a paper trail, and they had so many problems back in 06 and certainly prior to that, that the Republican governor out there was calling for at least paper trails. The Democratic Maryland House had joined him big time in that call. But the Maryland Senate, which is also democratically dominated, had turned it down. And now another bill this session has gone through. A similar thing happened. The House supported this paper bill. Senate turned it down. And now just in the last few minutes got some rather stunning news. There's been a big reversal today in the Senate. And in fact, it looks as if they have passed a bill for paper ballots in Maryland to use optical scan systems, presumably. I'm just learning about it myself right now. It won't be until 2010, but okay, at least we're moving in the right direction, and perhaps I can stop beating up on the at least the Democrats in the Maryland Senate.
Yeah, only 49 more states and the federal government to go.
That's right. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging.
I think it is. I think I think there's a lot of continually encouraging news. Now, when that translates into action, well, then maybe I'll really be thrilled. But, you know, yeah, you got to look in this fight. You got to take your victories where you can find them, and you know, to help you stay optimistic. And I think the bottom line is, we are on the right track all over the country. We've got stops and starts. We've got a lot of bad actors just standing in the way. We've got a lot of good folks who don't really know what they're doing, or they've been tricked into doing the wrong thing. But I think the big picture, just because I'm feeling optimistic today, Peter,
yeah,
is that you know, we are moving in the right direction. Sometimes it's you know, one step forward, two steps back, or something like that, but mm-hmm. Hopefully we're going in the right direction. I have no choice, my friend, but to be optimistic, whether I like it or not.
Well, and Brad, as you know, back at the end of January, I snuck in a little vacation to the scene of the crime in 2000. I went to Florida, and just in reading the Miami newspapers and watching a little TV news, I first learned about this new governor who replaced Jeb Bush, and he's a Republican, so I kind of pushed him out of my mind. But this guy, Charlie Crist, has turned out to be a real leader on these issues. And he stunned people by saying he wants to get rid of the touchscreen machines.
Yep.
And then he stunned people this week by saying that he wants to stop scrubbing people off the voting rolls because they may have been felons. We saw that under Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris. Didn't they bring in a subcontractor from Georgia whose job it was to scrub people off the voter list and intimidate others who may have had a criminal record in their past but completed and had their rights restored, but they used it to suppress votes?
Oh, yeah. They knocked thousands. They purged thousands of voters, many of them legitimate voters, off the voting rolls prior to 2000 and again in 2004. And now Florida had, until Charlie Crist, had a restriction on felon voting even after they had been paroled. But what the bill did, not the bill, this caging, this purge of felons did in Florida was it took people off the list who had come from other states where they could vote, where they might have been felons, but they served their time. It took them off the voting rolls, and even more disturbingly, it took people off if they had the same names and, you know, nationality, essentially. So there was, you know, horrible tracking of this, and you didn't really have to be the person, you know, you didn't have to be Juan Garcia the felon. You had to be a guy who had the name Juan Garcia to be purged from those voter rolls, and a lot of folks didn't even find out about that until they showed up to vote on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you were kind to select that name, but it was primarily in Florida, in my view, aimed at African Americans.
Mm.
And, of course, you know, one of the sad facts of modern life is that African-American males are incarcerated at a much higher rate than the rest of the population for a variety of factors. But that makes that group more vulnerable to this kind of voter list purge.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I'll tell you, coming into a state like Florida, a Republican governor like Charlie Crist to be taking the progressive actions that he has been taking has impressed the hell out of me. I know it's won him a lot of fans in both the Republican and the Democratic side. And, you know, it also brings up another point. I've heard a lot of folks say, you know, whenever I say that I'm progressive, they say, oh, that's just because you're liberal and you don't want to say you're liberal. Well, no. I think there is a difference between liberal and progressive, and in fact, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt was the first progressive party president or head of the progressive party. You don't need to be being a progressive does not mean you're a Democrat, does not mean you're a liberal. It means you have progressive policies and you believe in progressive solutions to problems. And clearly, I think Charlie Crist is. Has at least so far, these policies have been very progressive, and he deserves our admiration, I think, for this. And I wish we had Democrats in the U.S. House and Senate who were as forward-thinking and as progressive in dealing with this election debacle that we have as has Charlie Crist been.
Well, do you have some hope, Brad? I know that we're still trying to amend the Holt bill, H.R. 811, which is just suspended because of the holiday break, the spring break that the House and the Senate are taking. The Senate resumes business on Monday. The House has another week off. And so the Holt bill will not be back in play until at least the 16th, 17th of April. Do you have any hope that the actions in Maryland, the actions of Governor Crist in Florida, the steps by Deborah Bowen here in California for a top-to-bottom review of the machines, do you think that's going to put any additional pressure on Rush Holt and his committee to revise the bill along the lines that you have been counseling?
Well, you asked me if I have hope, and as I said previously, I will. I have hope in everything. I have no choice. So I do have hope that that will add. I mean, there has really been a storm from every side against, to get Rush Holt and the supporters of that bill to change what they have been doing. You know, they've had talking points from the beginning on why they could not ban these DRE touchscreen systems. And sort of one by one, each and every one of those talking points has fallen to actual, information and scientific fact. So, I think this can only help. I think, and I know for a fact, it helps when people pick up that phone and call their Congress members in both the House and Senate and tell them we must ban these dreadful DRE systems. We must have, and here's a very easy way to put it, we must have a paper ballot, one that is actually tabulated, for every vote cast in America. That's it. That pretty much gets us where we need to be. We'll have a lot of other things we'll need to cover, you know, beyond that to ensure accuracy and transparency. But that will get us there. And, yeah, it really does make a difference. All of these things, all of these points, all of these data points falling in our favor, I think, continue to move us towards what we need to get done.
We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. I'm at the blog right now, and I would like to synchronize our browsers. Let's all click on the classic. Brad Blog presentation. And oh, it just reloaded. It's so beautiful in the green and yellow. We'll take a break and return. Brad's with us this hour, and if you have a comment, you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
All right, everybody, let's welcome to Friday, and happy pre-Easter, by the way. Well, I like to talk about traffic, but don't got a whole lot to talk about except some slow stuff. In fact, no reports of any problems in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas at this point. That means no major stalls or accident translation. Do a little bit of slow-and-go traffic, southbound one between Monterey and Carmel. Had reports of southbound 17 from 85 to the Lexington Reservoir, slow traffic there. Pretty much looking good. The summit into Santa Cruz, some slow and go stuff, but nothing to get too worried about. We're just going to give you a quick advisory regarding some road work, and that's northbound 1. The ramp to Emmeline, the on-ramp, shut down 24 hours a day. This report brought to you by Great America. Great America is open for another season of fun. Adults save up $13 with a coupon from participating Carl's Jr. Family of four saves up to $52 at Great America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Our guest is Brad Friedman, proprietor of BradBlog.com. If you've never been there, shame on you. Powerful website, and he's our go-to guy on these election protection, election integrity issues. And just to tag on to what we talked about in the first segment, New York Times played this story about Charlie Crist in Florida revising the rules about ex-felons. And, Brad, there's an interesting graph, and graphs are easy for a guy like me, a map of the United States that shows, for example, if you are a felon in Florida, I'm sorry, in Kentucky or Virginia, you lose your right to vote for life. And in about 15 other states, there is a period after parole or probation that you have to clear before you can have your vote restored. And most other states just ban voting by prisoners when they're in prison and directly on parole.
Yeah, and you know, and I can understand when you're in prison, of course, but it's always been a bizarre rule to me. I mean, given that, you know, one of the things you want to avoid is, you know, people who are political prisoners, basically. And one way to ensure that political prisoners can't speak up, and, you know, many people argue that, you know, our current drug rules, drug laws and everything are, in fact, political crimes, in fact, rather than real crimes, is that, you know, you take away the voice from those folks and they can't speak out. So, you know, I think these felon disenfranchisement laws are pretty insidious. And it's, again, you know, it's one of those things, it's hard to, for a lot of folks, it's hard to argue in favor of felons, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like the old phony voter fraud charge. You know, it's hard to say, oh, no, people shouldn't have to have an ID, because it's a very compelling argument that, hey, you got to get a, you know, use an ID to get on a plane or cash a check or anything else. So it's a tough argument to make, but guess what? We got to stick to what's right and what's true, and the principled position, no matter how popular or unpopular, and hopefully those principled positions will eventually make themselves heard, make their way into the mainstream, and become the rule of law. And you know, so again, you know, mm-hmm. Congratulations to Charlie Crist for doing that and making that happen in the state of Florida, of all places.
Now, you talk about the phony claims of voter fraud that are ratcheted up by Republicans, and that's the perfect segue. By the way, congratulations. I love the word canard. The headline reads, GOP's Acorn Voter Fraud Canard Appears Again. Now, this is about the U.S. attorney purge. And the latest on that, a couple of developments today. Monica Goodling, who was the liaison between Justice and the White House, has resigned in, I guess, another attempt to avoid the McCarthy tactics of the Democrats, who want to find out about the partisanship of the Republicans. And, of course, Bush calls that a partisan witch hunt. And her talking points and her lawyers have been similar. I don't see how resigning from justice improves her position. I don't think that she can use the Fifth Amendment argument very effectively, not that it was getting traction to begin with, but I think it weakens her position in resisting any kind of subpoena from the Senate or the House.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a very strong position in the first place. My understanding is her right to use the to invoke the Fifth Amendment only has to do, doesn't have anything to do with her working at the Department of Justice, has only to do with one's fear of incriminating themselves by you know, admitting that they somehow broke a law, which is odd considering that one of the Republican talking points here has been that there's no law broken here, this is all just a witch hunt or whatever. Well, if she's admitting that she doesn't want to talk, that she wants to use the Fifth Amendment to keep herself from talking, that means that, you know, by implication, she's saying that there is a crime there.
Yeah.
So this thing is not getting any better for him. It's certainly getting worse, it seems to me. And
well, and Alberto Gonzalez has this long holiday weekend and all of next week to practice spending more time with his family.
Yes.
He has been told that they're postponing his appearance before the Senate committee next week regarding the Justice Department budget, and that puts more pressure on the April 17th date that he has with Pat Leahy and the Judiciary Committee. And Leahy has upped the ante a little bit by reminding the Attorney General that he's overdue for some homework. They've asked him for a written account of his role in last year's dismissals. And that, of course, you know, you can't play as fast and loose with a written document as you can with the schmoozing you do with a senator when they ask you a tough question.
No, you can't. But and it's interesting because you may recall, or maybe you even missed this, in the blizzard of stories that's been coming out over the past Lord knows how many weeks now, that there was a whole series of letters that were sent to Gonzalez and, in fact, to the White House, which were ignored. It was administration policy back in the previous Congresses to basically ignore any letters that didn't come from the majority on some of these House committees and so forth. They just didn't reply. They didn't answer them. They didn't think a congressional inquiry, even if it was sent by someone like at the time the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, they didn't think it was worth their time or they had any responsibility to have to answer to those. Well, I guess the worm has turned, and they will have no choice at this point but to respond, unless they come up with a new gimmick. And you and I both know, Peter, we would put nothing past them to come up with anything they can to avoid actual accountability.
Yeah. We're talking with Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. We'll continue in a moment. Talk about how the French are uneasy about using touchscreen voting machines. And also, Brad broadcast an exclusive interview with Stephen Heller, a Diebold whistleblower. We'll get the lowdown on that coming up next. If you want to join us, you can. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Our assistant producer is Brian Urban. And our website, upgraded by Brian, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Well, I've had enough commercials for now. How about you?
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Let's get the mix under control here, Collins. It's 33 minutes after the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm not responsible for any of the commercials broadcast on our program. In fact, I don't even hear them. We play music during the breaks here, and you are subjected to commercials that are inserted by the local stations and by networks, and I have no idea what commercials you just heard, and I'll just apologize in a general way for that. And, Brad, I bring this up because I'm looking at the blog, and you have an item that is quite embarrassing to Bill O'Reilly. And right next to it, Google Ads has placed a banner ad, a vertical banner ad for Bill O'Reilly's new Culture Warrior book.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
Now, what happens if I click through here? I'm only going to do it if you get the nickel.
I will get the nickel,
all right,
actually.
I click here for your free copy. What am I going to get?
Get a free copy, it appears, of Bill O'Reilly's Culture Warrior.
Oh, but I have to join the Conservative Book Club.
Oh, boy.
And then they'll mail them to me forever. I'll never be able to stop it.
makes good firewood in the winter.
So what's the story? I haven't looked at this video. O'Reilly got into a dust-up with
Geraldo?
Oh,
man, you haven't looked at this video?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. It's an unbelievable video. Not just a dust up, but a screaming match. I mean, his head almost fell off his body. I've never seen him like this before. If you remember, I alluded to Morton Downey Jr., which may be something that folks remember. This guy who at the time, a huge right winger who would go crazy on the air, berating his guests, yelling and screaming at them.
Yeah, and he went ballistic at the San Francisco airport with the general manager of the TV station that was carrying his show at the time in San Francisco.
Did he really?
Very poor form, yeah.
Yeah, poor form, although some years later, before he died, he actually died at a young age. He, I think, had
a convergence.
Yes, convergence. I don't think that's it. He a change of position, a change of heart.
A conversion.
Something like that, and realized that, and admitted, really, that most of what he was doing was for show. And he was embarrassed about it, and I only wonder how long it will take for Bill O'Reilly to realize the same thing. Basically, he's absolutely berating Geraldo Rivera. You got to see this thing. Berating him.
Will it work if I play the audio?
It will. Go for it.
I'm loading.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Oh, but there's music playing. Hold on. I have to get control of my systems here.
That's not my fault.
Oh, that music is coming from another page here. We will come back to this.
All right.
Because I have to get rid of one thing, and then I can come back.
It'll be worth it when you do. Basically, just to set it up whenever we get there, he goes nuts. A drunk driver killed two teenagers in Virginia Beach. And he's absolutely furious, not because the drunk driver killed the two teens, but because the drunk driver was apparently, allegedly, an undocumented immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And
an illegal alien?
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
And he was very upset about that. Never mind that, frankly, there's been hundreds of people killed by drunk drivers in Virginia Beach over the past year, and certainly thousands and thousands across the country. He's just upset because he's an illegal alien, and it's just, it's insane. I mean, we expect him to be upset, but he began berating Geraldo for wanting anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, if you get to it, you'll
well,
enjoy.
I'm trying to load it on another window right now, and it says loading, so it may hit here at any moment. In the interim, tell us about your brush with the Fox News Channel and how you were recently cited by Britt Hume.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, Britt Hume decided, of course, Fox News, I was going to say rarely, but maybe I should say never covers anything on the Brad blog. Until, of course, last week I was critical of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
For he was quoted by AP, and if we presume that AP was correct in their reporting, he was basically said that if Bush vetoes the Iraq spending bills, as Bush has promised to do, that the Senate Democrats would end up giving Bush a bill that didn't have the withdrawal timelines, the troop withdrawal timelines in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was critical of Obama because that, I mean, is just about as bad a negotiating technique as I could possibly imagine, letting your negotiating partners know exactly what you'll settle for and that you're happy to fold later on. And interestingly enough, in the AP article, Obama is quoted as saying people need to know what sort of president I would be and how I would deal with foreign policy issues. Well, if this is the way he would deal with them, you can count me out as far as being a fan of Obama's. Now, I questioned in the article whether AP got the story right, because they get a lot of stuff wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, Obama has not really come out and criticized the AP report, so we sort of are left to assume that, you know, maybe AP got it right. And, of course, then Britt Hume on Fox News took the opportunity to quote both myself and Marcos over from Daily Kos, who apparently was similarly critical, to quote Brad Friedman of the Brad blog as saying, if we ever need to negotiate for anything, remind us to not call on Obama to represent us.
And you see the technique there. That's an adjunct to Some People Say.
Yep.
They are using what they perceive as a lefty to knock a lefty.
That's right. And, in fact, they called me a liberal blogger. And he said that you know, left wingers are irate, furious.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. It's a propaganda technique. He didn't, Britt, I noticed, did not take the time to point out how I spend perhaps 90% of my day beating the crap out of Fox News for their awful propaganda.
Well, and to be fair but not balanced, I often look for right-wingers attacking right-wingers, mm-hmm, because they sometimes have more credibility with the left than if it's just another, you know, Paul Krugman or other, you know, identifiable person who's not a conservative.
Sure.
Leveling the charge. Okay. This file here at YouTube is called Bill O'Reilly Loses His Mind. Here we go.
I just want to get this straight. You, Geraldo Rivera, with teenage daughters,
right,
are telling me that you are okay with somebody sneaking into the country, becoming drunk, get convicted of a DUI and staying here. You're all right.
My nightmare is my daughters having anything to do with a drunk. Let me finish my answer. My nightmare is my daughters having anything to do with a person driving drunk. That's my nightmare.
Okay.
It could be a Jewish drunk.
This
it could be a Polish drunk.
Here.
It could be an Irish drunk.
No.
It could be an Italian drunk.
American
what the
crime,
hell difference does it make?
It makes plenty of difference.
Doesn't
he doesn't have a right to
he didn't
be
commit
here.
A felony.
This is better than the WWF.
A right to be in this country.
What? But that has nothing to do with the
yes,
fact that he
does.
Was drunk.
He should have been deported. He should have been deported. And this mayor and the police chief didn't deport him.
Listen, you know how many people we have in jail? How many of them are illegal aliens? Illegal aliens commit crimes at a lower rate than citizens do.
This guy shouldn't have been here.
Cool your jets. That has nothing to do with illegal aliens. It has to do with drunk driving. Don't obscure
he
a tragedy to make a cheap political
if
point.
I'm the father.
It is a cheap political
no,
point.
It isn't.
And you know
this
it.
Is just justice.
This has nothing to do with that poor old lady mayor.
You
it
want
has nothing to do
no.
with that mayor.
You want anarchy.
No, what
you
I
want open border anarchy.
What I want is fairness. We have lured
fairness
these people.
Bull.
We have lured these.
This is
we have lured these people.
Cut his mic. Cut his mic. Cut both mics.
In a country where there is basically full domestic employment, right. We have for decades lured them here.
This
and now
family,
we're starting a mob scene.
This
you're gonna
family
have, you're gonna, you're,
lured
you
no
want
one.
Your viewers to go knocking on people's door, door
no,
to door.
Bull,
are you an
bull.
Illegal? I'm going to take you outside and do
I
something.
I want the law enforced.
History has seen what happens when you single out people like
that. I want the law enforced. And you don't.
Bill.
You
half
don't.
Of Congress, if they had the courage, the President of the United States, if you look at what he has to say, all want reasoned immigration reform.
Then
but to
do
take
that.
This tragedy in Virginia Beach and make it about illegal aliens
it is
a sin. That's a sin.
Ooh, a
this
sin.
Family lured no one. This family lost their daughter in
347 drunk driving fatalities in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
We deal with
do
Americans.
We care about them?
We deal with Americans that way, and I deal with it all the time, and you know I do, with child predators and everything else.
But I back you with that, because it's a reasoned approach.
This is single.
Oh, cuts off there.
Oh, it did, huh?
Wow. Well,
was that worth it?
That was. That made my day, Brad.
Well, I'm happy to serve, Peter.
I mean, which nut?
I will.
Which nut are you rooting for?
Man, I'll tell you, I that was something else. And I'll add a postscript here that the mayor, also on the show, O'Reilly said that, quote, we're going to get the mayor, Oberndorf is the name, mm-hmm. we're going to get the mayor, Oberndorf, and the judge, Whitehurst, because they're villains. He said that on the same show, and a news conference was held after the show, I believe it was yesterday, with the mayor and one of the father of one of the girls who was killed, and the father said, we need to heal and to bring immigration. That's disrespectful to a family who's just mourning.
Yeah.
So he was not thrilled with being used as a political pawn either.
I mean, it was like a race to the bottom of shamelessness.
Yes.
and you know, it puts me in an awkward spot because Geraldo was arguing pretty much the case that I would have, not entirely, but at the same time, he is such a despicable guy. About 3 years ago, I was going into a restaurant in New York near Central Park. And there was a row of two tops, you know, two-seat tables,
yeah.
Along a banquette. And the maitre d' offered me and Kathy a seat at a table that was right next to Geraldo Rivera. He was dining alone and reading a book or a newspaper. And I said, you know, we prefer the window. I couldn't imagine, you know, ruining a $50 meal by having Geraldo sitting next to me.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I got to give him credit, though. He was right. He was right on this issue, and he was right to stand up to that bully O'Reilly. And it's nice that anybody else who had made that argument with O'Reilly would have been summarily, as you said, cut off.
Yeah.
Would have cut off their mic.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do that to his Fox News colleague Geraldo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually got to fight back a little bit, and he was absolutely right on this issue. That said, however, Peter, usually Geraldo and O'Reilly are in agreement on just about everything.
Right. Especially exploiting crime and the victims of crime for television ratings.
Indeed.
And I mean,
to my question, you and I are in agreement on almost everything, it seems, these days. I think we need to find something we disagree on so we can get into a fight like that and up the ratings here a little bit.
Okay. Well, we'll have to research to find something that'll get us both amped up that way.
All right.
Now, here's something we probably agree on. The French are smarter than many Americans. New York Times has a story, Dateline Paris, April 3rd, that there are many people who are concerned about using paperless computer voting. About 1.5 million of the 44.5 million registered voters are expected to use electronic machines in 80 municipalities around the country. But with Election Day less than 3 weeks away, opposition appears to be growing. Now, that's a very small percentage, 1.5 million out of 44.5. But it shows that the French don't even want to tip their toes into electronic voting shenanigans.
No, they don't. But hey, American democracy looks to be on the spread around the world, unfortunately. And in fact, some of the machines that they're going to be using in this presidential race for the first time, they're using electronic touchscreen voting. Some of those machines are going to be made by our very own American company, the good folks at ESNS.
That's ASES.
That's right. Thank you. And those are the folks, of course, who made those wonderful iVotronic machines that they use down in Sarasota, Florida, in that still contested race. They're going to be using the iVotronics out in France this year. And the spokesman, or as I like to call them, spokesliars for ESNS, said that our machines have proven themselves in thousands of elections in the United States and elsewhere. Proven themselves exactly what? I couldn't repeat here on the air.
Well, thank you. That'll save me $350,000.
Least I can do, my friend.
Brad, we'll take a break and return. If you want to join us, grab a line, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And, Geraldo, if you're listening, give us a call. I won't cut your mic. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic and let's find out the very latest, because that's important on Friday, isn't it? So we are going to look at a situation working. Let's see. Santa Clara County, 152 after Casa de Fruta. It's a two-car crash. It is on the shoulder. Other than that, gosh darn, let's see. Northbound 17, looking good there. Southbound looking good. No major stalls or crashes to port, really, here in the Monterey Salinas area, although except for the one we just told you, so it's repeated again. Santa Clara County, 152 westbound after Casa de Fruta. It's a two-vehicle crash. Everything is off to the shoulder at this point. And the support brought to you by Accountemps. Accountemps, to access their extensive local network of highly skilled finance and accounting professionals in Monterey, contact the Accountemps office near you. Visit them at accountemps.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco.
And the world.
Who may not know it, but they are beautiful. And so is their city. This is a very personal song. So if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it.
Oh, of course. It will be worth it.
Not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
And speaking of peace of mind and our European residents, this juicy quote from Gilles Savary, a spokesman for the Ségolène Royal, the Socialist Party candidate, about the use of electronic machines in France. "We have doubts about the reliability of these machines," he said. "I don't want to lecture America, but we don't want France to fall into the same Kafkaesque balloting as happened in the United States." Isn't that priceless, Brad?
Kafkaesque indeed.
Yes, it is.
Perfectly, I use that in the headline because it's just... couldn't come up with a better explanation of it, of what we've seen over the last Lord knows how many years, than Kafkaesque at this point.
Yeah. Jennifer has a quick item for us from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I'm not sure if you've been talking about this, but there's a National Day of Climate Action happening a week from Saturday, April 14th.
You've just informed me. This is the first I know. Tell me.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, we're not doing a good enough job, are we, the climate action community? But listen, it's a National Day of Climate Action, and there's activities all over the Bay Area, I know, and all over the nation. And you can just go to stepitup.org.
Stepitup.org.
Yeah, and there you can find, click on the city or just type in a zip code, and it'll tell you what local action is happening.
Okay, great.
And they're calling for 80% reduction by, greenhouse gases by 2050, which is in some of the legislation that's coming through Congress right now. And it's just to build support for, getting something done on this, on the most important possibly issue of facing humanity.
Well, see what I learned doing a radio show? I wouldn't have known about Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera, and I wouldn't have known about this Climate Action Day. So it's a week from tomorrow, and stepitup.org.
Stepitup07.org.
Stepitup07.org. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks a lot, and there's a lot going on with the climate action movement, so hopefully I'll be able to keep you somewhat informed over the next coming months.
Cool. Send me an email, peterbcollins.com.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Good. And, Brad, I wanted to give you a couple of minutes here before we run out of time to talk about your exclusive interview with Stephen Heller, which was broadcast in Arizona last week. He is a guy who worked for a law firm that represented Diebold, and he took some documents home in his lunch pail.
Yes, he did. About 500 documents. And it led to his eventually, years later, he was, three felony counts were brought against him. Very unusual for someone who was seen as a whistleblower, particularly since the documents showed that Diebold had broken the law in California by installing uncertified hardware and software up in Alameda County. The release of those documents preceded and may have been tied to the decertification of Diebold voting machines. And frankly, this guy is a hero in my mind for having done this. He took these from a law firm, Diebold's California law firm, the right-wing Jones Day law firm, actually an international firm. And I think he was incredibly heroic to have done so. And for years, while he was under indictment, he has not been able to talk. And so I was delighted to have the first live broadcast interview with Stephen last week. And it's currently up on the blog. He has a lot to say about Diebold, certainly, about George W. Bush, about elections and transparency and the insanity of having private companies run our public elections. I think it was a fascinating interview with both him and his wife, Michelle Gregory. I would encourage you, Peter, I'll be happy to put you in touch with him. Now that he's able to talk, he said that, it's been quite frustrating watching elections come and go and having to keep his mouth shut about everything that was going on. And he's raring to talk about it all now.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating for me because I was only able to talk with him for a half hour on that show last week. I would encourage you to bring him back on. He's a terrific guest. as you may have noticed, has plenty to say after all those years not being able to say anything. I'm sure your guests would love to hear from him. He's a fascinating guy. I hope you'll consider having him on and excuse me, supporting his efforts. And in fact, we will be running a guest blog that he's sent over to the Brad blog. We'll be running that next week, encouraging folks who can blow the whistle to go ahead and do so, and talking about the importance of that, even after a guy like him has faced the slings and arrows and enormous legal costs that he has. He doesn't regret it, and he recommends others do the same.
Well,
so
great.
We'll have
Please.
That next week at Brad Blog, and maybe you'll be able to talk to him
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, send me the info, and we'll line him up as soon as he's available. I'd love to talk with him and share that info with our listeners, too. Just about a minute or more remaining. Let's just doff our hats to Tony Anshundo, who is now serving time. I guess he's in the Monterey County lockup.
Yes, that's right. Your old Monterey County registrar pal.
Trust me.
That's right. And I got to give credit to you, Peter, because if it was not for you having him on your show along with me, we would have never gotten to hear him say, tell everybody that folks need to have faith and trust in their elections officials. In this case, me, he said, in a quote that will live in infamy. And, of course, Peter Anshundo is now beginning to serve his time after pleading no contest to 43 criminal charges.
Well, and he didn't even take us out to dinner on the county credit card that he was running up all his personal bills on.
For that alone, they should tack on a couple of extra months.
I agree. And, Brad, what's the current 20, the location of Harry Hursty, and what's he up to?
Harry Hursty is still in this on the West Coast, I believe, for another day or two. I'm hoping that he'll be meeting with Rush Holt out in D.C. They wanted to talk to him until they saw what he had to say on the Brad blog. They had been using him as reasons to say, mm-hmm. optical scan is just as bad as a touchscreen.
Read all about it at bradblog.com.
Yep. Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has lost another top aide. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports Monica Goodling submitted her resignation today.
Goodling has been on indefinite leave, but many were asking why she was still employed by the Justice Department after she announced she would take the Fifth Amendment rather than answer questions about her involvement in the firing of U.S. attorneys. Goodling has now decided to quit. Her resignation takes effect tomorrow. Her letter to the Attorney General says simply, "It has been an honored to have served at the Department of Justice for the past 5 years.
In terms of the congressional investigation, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says this might not change very much.
She still certainly can, and she probably will, invoke her right to remain silent, at least for now, and the fact that she is no longer a federal employee will not give Congress or any court the power to trump that. So her life changes, her career changes, but I'm not sure her role in the investigation will.
But by refusing to answer questions, George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley says Goodling has put more pressure on the White House.
In some ways, she is making it more likely that Congress will subpoena White House officials like Karl Rove.
Goodling was the liaison between the Justice Department and the White House. The Justice Department ruled today that it's legal for someone to donate a compatible kidney for a stranger so that a relative can get a kidney transplant. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
The ruling is being hailed as a breakthrough. It'll allow willing kidney donors with organs incompatible with relatives to be matched to strangers, and their relatives will get kidneys in exchange. A national matchup program will now be developed. That'll take a year or two. It's estimated 3,000 patients could be paired with donors immediately after it begins. And the government says it'll save $500 million in costs paying for transplants instead of long-term dialysis.
Today's ruling prompted by a five-way domino donor transplant performed at Johns Hopkins last year. The third bank robbery suspect was captured this morning in New Jersey. Francisco Herrera Genoa will appear in federal court with the other two on Monday morning. Yesterday's shootout, an FBI agent was killed, possibly by friendly fire from the accidental discharge of another agent's gun. Tonight's game in Cleveland between the Indians and the Seattle Mariners has been called off due to snow and cold, just one symptom of the spring cold snap in the Midwest and the East.